Thank you. Let us pray. O God, you are the origin and sustainer of all being, all wisdom, and all healing. Come into our presence now as we celebrate the work and wisdom of a cherished colleague. In you, through the communities of faith that honor your name, and the institutions that give order to your purposes, our individual efforts survive, even after our vitalities have diminished, so that our work does not end when our capacities flounder. Give us good trust and courage from your endless mercy, and render this occasion the means by which we are assured of your continued grace. We await your presence with us in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. Thanks be to you, O God, that we have risen this day.
To the rising of this life itself.
Be the purpose of God between us and each purpose.
The hand
the pain of Christ between us and each pain. O God, who brought us to the bright light of this new day,
bring us to the guiding light of eternity.
Friends, you may be seated. Brothers and sisters, I say to you, good morning.
Good morning.
Brothers and sisters, I say to you, good morning. So of all the places you could be on a day like this one, you ended up here. Now maybe you came here in need of forgiveness, or maybe you came here because there is someone you need to forgive. Maybe you came here because you were finally ready to try church, or maybe because you are just about ready to give it up. Maybe you came here because church is a habit, or maybe there is a habit in your life that needs breaking. Maybe you came here because there is so much joy in your life that you just had to share it with someone, or maybe you came because you can't imagine what you're facing alone. Maybe you came this morning to celebrate the great gifts of God, or maybe this morning you came to celebrate the gift that God gave us in Max Stackhouse. And maybe, just maybe, you heard that glorious music as you were driving by on Main Street and you knew this was Stockbridge, so you were convinced this was Tanglewood and you wanted to get a good seat, and so you came on in, and by the time you figured out it's not, you're a little bit awkward, you don't want to get up and leave, and so you're sticking around. Here's what I know. With God, there are no such things as accidents. Maybe you came in this room today for any number of reasons, but maybe it's because you needed to be here among your brothers and sisters in Christ, because with God there is hope and healing and forgiveness on top of forgiveness. With God, there are those words that split open the heavens and say, you, each and every one of you, are my beloved, made in my very own image. Friends, no matter why you came here this morning, know that you are most welcome here. You are cherished and honored and treasured, and truth be told, we need each and every one of you if we are ever to become the body of Christ. So welcome to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. At this time, I want to welcome anyone who has an announcement to make to please come forward to that microphone so that you may do so. I have a couple of announcements to make if anyone is on their way up. First, I would love to get to know you better. If you are new here and I don't know you, find one of these cards. They should be in each and every pew. Take it and fill it out and put it in the offering plate. If you give me enough information to get a hold of you, I promise you that I will. I want to thank and congratulate the Service League for a wonderful summer fair yesterday. This place was full and alive and buzzing and full of good things to eat and beautiful flowers. It was wonderful. Finally, I would draw your attention to this green sheet. We print it and put it in your bulletin, not just to add a bit of color. We put it in there that you might notice it and read it and take it home with you and learn more about the opportunities for life in this church. Friends, there never has been, nor ever will there ever be, another moment quite like this one. It was made for the worship of God. So let's turn our task to that.
Gracious God, we are gathered as your imperfect children. You call us to confession and repentance, that we may be healed by your boundless love and become instruments of your peace and healing for all the world. In humility and gratitude, we acknowledge to you, to each other, and to ourselves, our brokenness and our need for forgiveness, healing, and empowerment. And so we pray together. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done in our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your will and serve only your will. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever. Amen."
Brothers and sisters, having been reconciled to God, let us reconcile ourselves to one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Now get up and share it with each other. Sisters and brothers, when you have shared enough peace and given away enough love, you may be seated.
Because some time between my sending and Brent's receiving, he wrote whatever's in your bulletin about me, so I have no clue what it says. But I just want to say that I'm a member of this congregation. I joined 8 years ago, and then after 2 years, I went back to work as a pastor in Westfield. And those times, most of that time when I've been here, I have been in the Bible study here for the clergy. Originally, there were four of us, and then sometimes there were less. But the thing that struck me about Max wasn't that I knew he was a teacher, because I didn't at first. He was another member, Christian minister, as a part of the group. He wasn't there to teach us. He was there to learn with us. And he would tell us he learned things from me, of all people. And he became a good friend. So I have been asked to read the scripture this morning. What we did was we sat down and we read the scripture from the ecumenical lectionary, which isn't necessarily what we're following on this day. And then we wrestled with it. What did it mean? And of course, Max had unique perspectives on it. And if nothing else, anything else that he's taught me, it's that heaven is not a place of individual houses, but a city. A great city on a hill, which I should have known from my Calvinist background. Anyway, the gospel for this day comes to us from Matthew 7. It is part of a whole section on instructions of how to live in the Christian faith. And Jesus wants us to be able to identify people, because very often there are false prophets and false teachers who really are trying to destroy rather than to build, or in our day, trying to get rich rather than trying to serve. And this is what Matthew says. Hear the word of God. "You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad fruit bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Max's mentor, James Luther Adams, liked to tweak the saying, "By their fruits you shall know them," to "By their groups you shall know them." By their groups you shall know them. And this is very true of Max. Throughout his life and career, has been attentive to group forming and institutions and how they shape society and how important they are. And when I first started working on this, I started listing just the groups and institutions that I've been a part of with Max, and I realized that if I did them all, I would use up my allotted time. But I would like to highlight two groups that Max and Jean created here in the Berkshires, one of which most of you know about, the other one you don't. When they moved here to the Berkshires, they planned monthly gatherings of the United Church of Christ clergy and their families in their home on Sunday nights. You remember those? We'd all share a potluck supper, and then the children would retire to watch a video. Willy Wonka, I think, was a favorite. And then the weary pastors and spouses would go to the living room and enjoy friendship and good conversation. The very first time we went there, I firmly instructed my children during the car ride to address Max and Jean as Dr. and Mrs. Stackhouse. When Max greeted us at the front door, he knelt down very low and he said to them, "We lived in India, and in India, children call grown-ups uncle and auntie, and so you can call me Uncle Max." And my son Andrew said, "Okay, Dr. Stackhouse." Those gatherings were a blessing to me and to my family and to many other colleagues in the Berkshires. By fostering friendships and strengthening group life and talking about important things, which is a theme for Max and Jean's life. Now, the other organization I want to hold up, you know, was their wonderful Berkshire Institute for Theology and the Arts, BITA, that brought together artists, lay people, pastors, and scholars for discussions, performances, and fellowship. And again, Max and Jean opened their home for a meal to the participants. And as many of the people in this room know each other, got to know each other, and meet each other, and know each other through those events and the friendships that were fostered. Now, I mention these to illustrate the commitment that Max and Jean, too, have to bringing people together in groups to think and talk about important matters and to share their life with others. Wherever they have lived or traveled around the world, and that list is also huge, they have made deep friendships and countless connections with all sorts of people. I must confess that in addition to being my teacher, mentor, colleague, and friend, Max is also, how shall I put it, a voice in my head. I think Scott Paith and other former students of Max will recognize how the Stackhausian voice lingers long after the studies are completed. What does this voice say? Well, to take just one example, Max, who is the son and grandson of Methodist preachers, has an allergy to hyper-individualistic religion, which of course is the typical American religion. Pietism is the word he uses to describe such impulses, and it is a danger, a perennial danger for Christians, and a regular feature of most American religion, where the emphasis is on me, my faith, my experience. So the Stackhausian voice in my head says something like this: be careful, Rick, that your faith doesn't become too individualistic, too private, because faith, though personal, is not private. It's about you, but it's not all about you. By your groups, ye shall know them. Some view a congregation as a beautiful collection of flowers, cut flowers, collected as in a vase. The beauty is in the individual spirituality which each person brings to make a beautiful bouquet. Max, or at least the Stackhausian voice in my head, rejects that view. For Max, participation in a congregation is more corporate and organic than that. Once again, by your groups you shall know them. He would prefer to think of us more like a tree with common roots that bears fruits. He wants us to think of ourselves as bound together by shared covenants and commitments that are thicker and more transcendent than the sum total of our individual spiritualities, which is to say that our personal faith is shaped, formed, strengthened, and enriched in life together as a congregation. He wants us to always be asking big questions such as, what does it mean to live life together under God? What does it mean to be the body of Christ? He wants us to think about important words such as covenant and vocation. Because he deeply believes that out of this shared life and these deep conversations comes a world-transforming Christianity like that of our Reformed and Puritan forebears that helps shape our larger community, institutions, and society. You can read in Max's books the arc of his Christian social ethics, but you can also clearly see in his life and commitments the embodiment of his thinking, the caring for peoples, institutions, and societies by attending to the way they organize themselves and by how they think about who they are together under God. I give thanks to God for Max's part, and Jean's too, in my life, and the life of my family, and in the life of this congregation. Amen.
Thank you. Our second reading for the day comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. In this letter, a clear mutual affection is seen between Paul and the new church. Paul wrote this letter while he was imprisoned and in a time of uncertainty of how the charges would be resolved against him. Given that, the themes of death and uncertainty are present in this letter. Yet the theme of joy is clearly and remarkably evident. Hear these words that Paul writes to the church. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work with you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the good news for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, source of all we are and all we might yet be, send down your Spirit here into this holy house. Send your Spirit deep into our hearts and on to our minds that we may experience you in new and beautiful ways. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It was about 2 years ago. It was a stunning New England fall November day. It was a day where John and I packed up the car from Boston to come out here to meet with this great congregation to determine whether God was calling us to join into covenant with one another. It was an absolutely stunning weekend, and I learned a couple things about this church on that weekend that have proven completely true. The first is, on that weekend, I think I ingested 7,943 calories every day. There was food and more food, and when the food was done, we were invited to another place to have dessert. The other thing I learned is how much we love music here. On that weekend, there was a Music on Main concert here in the sanctuary, and the church gathered to celebrate the gift of music in our lives and our togetherness. And then Deb McBenemy, the chair of the search committee, asked everyone to get up from this room and to go into the Jonathan Edwards room. In that room, there were chairs and tables laid out where we enjoyed more food. And then, and I quote, Deb said, "All right, this is your chance to ask Brent about anything." And for the next hour, questions came from all corners of the room, and trust me, about just about anything. But then Deb got up and she said, "Okay, it's time to wrap this up. Are there any more questions?" And sitting down to my right in the very front row, sitting down there with a tie around his neck and a shirt and looking all prim and proper, a hand went up from one Max Stackhouse. Before I heard a word come out of his mouth, I was captivated by that smile. You know that smile of his that goes from ear to ear? He looked up with an inquisitive glance, but I could tell behind that inquisitive glance, he already knew the answer to the question he was about to ask, and he just wondered if I did too. In his eyes was that great light twinkle, but behind the twinkle was a fierceness of faith that was easy to see and comprehend. And here's what he said. He said, "No one's talked about adult education yet, You do think formation is important, don't you? It had been a long day. I was tempted to simply say yes. It was the last question. It would be done. But I knew behind that simple yes and no question was both a challenge and an invitation, and I knew the one who asked that question was passionate about formation, and I knew that he would step forward and be a partner with me in doing so. It was then that I knew that this was indeed going to be a great fit. I think Max would say the exact same words that Paul did to that church in Philippi. He would say to us, "Make my joy complete. Make my joy complete. Take your lives and shape them only and completely on the model of Christ. Take your lives and join together in the great and glorious calling and work out your salvation with fear and trembling." He would tell us what Paul told them. Don't let those teachings of Christ be abstract or out there. Take them and let them form your life in real and meaningful ways so that all you do and who you are reflect the beauty and the grace of the God we follow. Max would want us, if nothing else, to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Since that simple question posed 2 years ago, I have treasured the opportunity and chance to engage with my friend and colleague Max in my own formation and in the formation of this church. If you know the two of us, you will know that we don't always agree. And you will also know that Max never fails to give me a hard time for going to that school down there in Connecticut. And yet, Max and I believe we've worked out our salvation together, not so much fear and trembling, but a whole lot of love and generosity. There are three things from our conversations I want to share with you today. The first is this: never, ever aim small. Never aim small. Last fall, Max came to me and he said, "I think the men of this church would like to have a chance to get together, a chance to talk about how our faith intersects with what we do, a chance to talk about how our faith matters in our work and in our lives." I said, "Sounds great." I said, "Would you be willing to lead it?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "In fact, I think I have this small little book that I could share with them that would be great fodder for our conversation." This is the small little book, Puritan Boston and Quaker Philadelphia. It is an academic tone. It is full of scholarly material. It is full of big theological words. And this is Max's idea of a little book to bring a few people together. But you know what? Those men, they came and they kept coming. And many of you are in this room. And each and every week, a different person took one of the chapters out of this deep and scholarly book. And each and every week, they presented on this book, probably with a little bit of fear and trembling. But together, they made it through. If you ask Max to look out this window and he sees Proctor Hall, he will take a look over there and he will not see a town hall that had better days. Instead, he will look at that building and see a place that might have better days in the future. See, Max believes that with the idea of public theology and with the gifts of this church, there is even the potential that we could take a building like that one and we could turn it into a place of Christian renewal, a place where the people in Western Massachusetts could come together to talk about why church matters in this world, a place where we could celebrate liturgy, a place where the church could be reformed and reborn. Max Stackhouse never aims small. The second thing that I want to share with you is Max would tell us to never think small. This whole idea of formation is nothing short of making our task be that our minds is the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. And so that deserves nothing less than our greatest energy, our broadest imagination, and our very deepest thought. Shaping ourselves in the mode and model of Christ, Max believes, is at the heart of what it means not just to come to church, but instead to become church. In a 2001 publication, The Spirit and the Modern Authorities, Max wrote that religion becomes vibrant when we take the revelation of God and put it in direct conversation and interaction with intellectual and social possibilities of our particular time and place. Max would say church is not a place to escape or hide or bask in simplistic theological statements that only comfort. Church should not distract us from the problems and complexities of the world, but instead, church should bring our faith face to face with those problems. At the end of his collection, Shaping Public Theology, Max poses this question: is our contemporary faith able to bring about a new reformation that can approximate, with the help of God, a peaceful, bountiful, and loving global society? Max already knew the answer to that question. He wrote it in the next sentence. He said, "I believe we can, if we trust in God. And I pray that my faith is not in vain," he writes. The task before us to be church demands of us all we are and all we might yet be. And finally, Max would tell us to never love small. There is no question that Max has influenced and shaped this local congregation and, in fact, the church universal. But a funny thing has happened on the journey of Max shaping all of us. Max has shared with me that he has been changed as well. You see, the third thing about this whole formation idea, as Rick mentioned, is that it always requires relationship. Whenever you read Paul and you hear that word "you," you should channel your best Southern imitation and know that when Paul says "you," he means all y'all. And so nothing we do can ever take place out of relationship. There was a recent worship service where Max was emotional. It was a time a couple of months ago when his good friend Don was struggling with cancer, and that was part of the emotion. But he said he wanted to talk to me about that emotion. And he called me up a few days later, and we got together, and we sat and talked. And he shared with me that it was not just Don that was making him emotional that day. It wasn't the beautiful anthem. It wasn't the scripture reading. It was nothing that I said in my sermon. Instead, what moved Max that day was looking around at this church and seeing our love spring together in action, of looking at a small baby being held by his father and seeing the love pass between them, of recognizing that this church is not just thinking, we are walking the walk and living the love. Friends, today is a day of thanksgiving and celebration, where we celebrate not just the great mind of Max Stackhouse, but that smile that goes from ear to ear. Not just his teachings that have shaped the world, but the faith of his heart that has undergirded it. Not just the largeness of a person like Max, but his humility of knowing that God is always bigger. And Max, today we don't just celebrate your amazing contributions and teachings. We celebrate you. We celebrate a brother of Christ, a person made in God's own image, a person who doesn't rely on accomplishments, but instead relies on who he is, the creation of God. Max, on behalf of this congregation, we give thanks for you, and we promise to walk with you on your journey wherever that path may take. And if you are ready to agree with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. Rick described briefly Max's role in the Berkshire Institute for Theology and the Arts. This hanging back here was actually commissioned by Beda and completed by our own Terry Wise to interpret the music of Bach. Music is an important part of our life together. One of the great participants in Beda couldn't be with us today. He wanted to, but he is performing in Cleveland tonight and couldn't make it work. And so he has sent a letter to be read to Max and to all of us on this occasion. Dear Max, Jill and I are so happy you are being honored today. Unfortunately, we are not able to attend today's festivities, but we would like you all to know two areas in Max's life that have deeply affected the lives of another family, mine. First, as the founder and president of the Berkshire Institute for Theology and the Arts, for many years you brought together the sacred and the secular, highlighted and reminded the participants at the summer gatherings of the many intersections between the two. Through words and music, you brought the abstract and the personal together, and through the thoughtful presentations, you encouraged us all to think and care more deeply, and that includes two of your board members, Jill and me. That thinking and caring often resulted in the formation of new and deepening friendships, as was the case for the Ma family with the Stackhouse, Churchill and Pelican families. For that, Jill and I and our children thank you. The other continuing chapter is your family, your dear, devoted, and talented wife, Jean, was the piano teacher for both Nicholas and Emily. No matter the level of talent or interest, Jean Stackhouse came through in her quiet way and instilled a discipline, curiosity, and love of music in all. You also introduced us to your daughter, Sarah, with whom each member of our family had a very long-term, funny, fruitful, helpful, and rewarding relationship. Is it a surprise that she is the daughter of Max and Jean? No, I don't think so. You see, the apple, as always, does not fall too far from the tree. So Max, the public theologian, Max, the teacher, and Max, the private individual, husband, father, and friend, you are inalienable linked together to form a richly tapestried picture of a private individual, as is your public persona. So Max, Jill and I are grateful to you and your family for the innumerable contributions you have made through your work and through your family. Congratulations. Love, Yo-Yo Ma.
Would you join me now in prayer? Gracious God, we gather here this morning to give you thanks, for all of the gifts that you have given to us as a community, to give you thanks for the summer day that we share together, for the cool breeze off the Berkshires, for the sunlight and the mountain dew. We give you thanks for fellowship, for friendship, for the family that we share together, both with one another and with your extended church throughout the world. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us in faith, to build up our courage, to fortify us for the struggles of the day, and to lead us forward in the knowledge and faith that in you and through you, we are capable of doing great things. And gracious God, we ask you today to be with your children throughout the world. We ask you to be with the members of this congregation. We ask you to be with the members of your church throughout Massachusetts, throughout the United States, and throughout the world. And Lord, in particular, we lift up in prayer to you today the people of Iraq. We lift up to you the suffering and the persecution of your community, of your church, in that beleaguered and war-torn country. We ask you, Lord, to be a spirit of peace, to establish genuine peace among the people of that country, among Sunni, Shia, Christian, Kurd, and to bring order to the midst of that chaos. Lord, we ask you to be with your children in Israel, Palestine, and Gaza. We ask you to bring about reconciliation among people who should not be fighting, but who should be recognizing their co-humanity and brotherhood with one another. Lord, we ask you to be with the people of Ferguson, Missouri today. We ask you to bring peace and justice to that community so that they may know that it is not necessary to rise up and riot, but that justice is possible where it is sought. We ask you to bring calm to that situation, and we ask you, Lord, to bring peace. Lord, we also ask you to be a spirit of healing for all of those who are suffering this morning. We ask you to be with those who suffer physical and psychological pain. We ask you to be with those who suffer from cancer, those who suffer from heart disease, those who suffer from the ailments of sadness, loneliness, depression, and despair. Let them know that you are with them, that you are their comforter, and that they may rely on you. Lord, we ask you to be, particularly this morning, with Don Shriver as he continues to struggle for healing. We ask you to give him that healing so that he may continue to do your work and continue to teach and to be a presence to those around him, inspiring faith and the search for knowledge in you. And Lord, most especially, we ask this morning of all mornings that you be with Max and Jean Stackhouse, with their family and friends in this community and throughout the world. And Lord, you know that they have friends throughout the world. Be with Jean and Max, be with their family, be with all of those who care for them, so that they may know the wonderful gift that he has been to so many people. Lord, for all of those who gather here today to honor Max and Jean, for all of those who gather together to praise and worship you, we ask that you raise us up, that you lift us up as a community, that we may truly be that city on a hill that shines forth throughout the world and glorifies you, that draws attention not to ourselves, but to you and to your work in the world. And gracious God, we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In our tradition, pray by laying on hands. It's an ancient and venerable tradition that has been used from everything for healing, hospitality, to commissioning, and to blessing, to Today, perhaps with all four of those things in mind, we are going to lay hands on Max and Jean. And in doing so, send them forth from this place with all of our love and all of our hopes. I would ask David to come forward. And I would ask Joanne, could you go see if the children are ready, because they have something for Max. They are out there. Sorry. So David, would you hold up? We have gifts for Max and Jean. These are called the blessing cross. You will notice that they are complementary, just as Max and Jean are complimentary. They are made by a man in Vermont named Woody, a former clergy who burned out on the church and found God in his quiet wood shop crafting wood. Let me read you a message from Woody about these crosses. This is a cross of relationship between God and you, between you and those who hold you in prayer, between the church and yourself. People naturally reach up toward God either in praise or petition, in thanks or need, in joy or despair. Reaching out to God. God descends upon and into our lives as the Holy Spirit, as the dove of peace and blessing. The light wood is olive. It is the olive branch that the dove brought back to Noah. It is the oil from which the prophets anointed those called by God. It is the tree beneath which Jesus prayed in the garden. It is the wood that is a reminder that flooded times will pass, that we are all special, and that we are called into the power of prayer. The dark wood, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but it's called Wenga wood, I believe. It's very strong and dense, and the musicians among us know that it's not movable, and so it's often used in the necks of musical instruments for strength. The metallic silvery line between the two is zinc. Like God's love, it does not tarnish. It is an incredible conductor of energy used in both batteries and detonators. He writes, "Truth is, we have a choice about being empowering or destructive in our relationships." And so, Max, on behalf of the congregation and Jean, we present these two crosses to you, that as your journey continues to unfold, that you may be forever reminded of our love, our commitment, our care, and our bond through God. And then the children have also, Max, made something for you. They were asked this morning about their favorite Bible studies. We thought that might make you happy, and they have drawn pictures and written some words here in this book to give to you and take with you, that you might know what they think about the Bible. So let me ask the kids to stay right around here, and I would ask you to take one of your hands and to place a hand on Max. Can you touch Max on his hand or on his shoulder? I would ask everyone in the congregation, we need you to be touching Max too. I know you can't get here, but touch somebody who's closer to Max than you are, and through that touch, we will make it all the way over here. Please lay your hand on someone's shoulder or on someone's shoulder in front of that. God of grace and God of glory, God of love and God of light, of beauty and abundance, of forgiveness and reconciliation, we give you thanks that throughout the sweep of time you have called forth women and men to answer your call and to become beacons of love, hope, and faith. On this day, we give you thanks for the call you have placed before Max Stackhouse. We give you thanks that you have equipped him with the gift of intellect to consider always what it means to be a person of faith, the gift of heart that has bound him in covenant with the people of this local body and with the church universal, with the gift of joy that he spreads with his every breath, and with the gift of courage to accept his call and to face the challenges of this and every day. God, we ask you to pour out your love in waterfalls of tenderness upon Max and Jean. Bless them with grace upon grace to continue on the path you have laid before them, to continue to accept the calling you place on both their lives. Bless them, God, that they might continue to be a blessing. God, of all there is, all there was, and all there might yet be, bestow your gift of peace, that they might face all that is before them with calmness, assuredness, and faith. And let all who love Max and all who are gathered here say, Amen. You may be seated. and share what you have, for such is pleasing to God. Do good and share what you have, for such is pleasing to God. This morning I invite you to do good and to share what you have, that this church might send those gifts forth in ministries of hope, peace, and love. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received. God, we ask you to pour out your blessings upon these gifts and all who have gathered, that they and we might leave this place as beacons of your love and sources of your hope. We pray all these things in the name of the one we follow, the one we know is Jesus. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, our worship of God here within these walls is drawing to a close. That our worship of God beyond these walls may begin anew. Before you go your separate ways, a couple of invitations. First, I would invite you to come through those doors. Remember that food I talked about? There is a whole bunch of it in that room just waiting for you. There is quiche and fruit and coffee and all sorts of good things. At 12:30 then, I would invite you to come back together in this sanctuary where Dr. Scott Paith will lead us in a discussion of what public theology is, why it matters, and why we should care. I hope to see your faces here. Friends, let's close our worship in song. for all the saints. Sing it like you mean it. You may be seated. Max will be in the Jonathan Edwards room and will be there that you might greet him and say hello to him. There also will be this book that will be laid out on the wooden podium. It is a chance for you to write a note, a blessing, a memory that Max and Jean might take it back home with them. And now, brothers and sisters, as you go your way, may you love God so much, you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you truly need fear nothing at all. And may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep you together in mind and body until we meet again. And let the church say, Amen.